God would say to us today that if you receive this word and let it be watered and planted in your heart and in your soul, it will change your life. For someone, some group, some whoever in this service, if you refuse this word, it will not just be for the undoing of your blessing. It will not be that you suffer a common cold. But God said, if you refuse this word, you're making an absolute choice to walk in rebellion to the promise and the power and the truth of his word. And I want to tell you today that there is another side to the story, the way that we think, the way that we embrace the truths and the word of God. We know that a logos word is a word that it's written on the page. It is true in and of itself, but that a rhema word is a word that comes alive in us, in our spirit, in our... So look at John chapter 21. There is a way to think before resurrection and a way to think after resurrection. And Simon Peter said to them, You do what you want to do. I'm going back to fishing. And they said to him, we are going with you also. And they went out and immediately got into the boat. And that night, that season, that day, they caught nothing. Have you been in a nothing moment in your life? I've been there. But when the morning had now come and Jesus stood on the shore, the disciples did not know that it was Jesus. Jesus said to them, children, do you have any food? Do you have any fish? And they said, no, we've got zilch. We've got nothing. And he said to them, cast the net on the right side of the boat and you will find some. You will find fish. So they cast, and now they were not able to draw it in because of the multitude of fish. They went from nothing to something. They went from nothing to an overabundance. I'm thankful for times in my life when I felt like I had nothing. There are times I've stood on a stage and stood behind a pulpit and I thought, God, I'm just empty. I just feel dry. I feel enthused in my soul, enthused in my heart and my mind, but God, I pray today that you would honor your word and in the next few moments you would speak to us. That God, somehow you would sober us, but that you would also quicken us and encourage us. That God, we would go from that empty side of life to a side that is full and flourishing. And God, the blessings of heaven are poured out upon us because God, you have spoken into our situation. I pray that you will do it in Jesus' name and amen. Would you love somebody? Would you turn to someone and just hug them, embrace them and as you're seated this morning? Turn to your neighbor and tell somebody, I have a right to change my mind. I have a right to change my mind. Considered to be a breakthrough genius, neurologist Roger Walcott Sperry won the Nobel Prize in Medicine for his work in split brain research. He originally researched the cause and effect of epileptic seizures. I have someone close to me, a godson in effect, that has suffered from this very thing. He was trying to find exactly where the seizures came from and how they could be stopped. In pursuit of finding an answer to this probing question, he discovered that by cutting the corpus callosum, which is the structure that connects the two hemispheres of the brain, that he could reduce or eliminate seizures altogether. The side effect of that discovery was finding that the brain is indeed divided into two halves. There are distinctions and responsibilities for each side of the brain. Most people depend on one side of the brain over the other. Dr. Sperry suggested that two different hemispheres control two different modes of thinking. The left side of your brain is logical and rational, analytical, needs a plan, objective, responds to verbal instructions. Needs structure, prefers established information, controls your feelings, prefers talking it out, and understands differences. That's all on the left side of your brain. The right side of your brain is random. It's intuitive. It is creative. It looks at the whole. It doesn't need a verbal instruction. It gets it. It needs a demonstration that goes with a hunch. It is fluid and it is spontaneous. It is free to express its feelings in worship and draws on unbound qualitative patterns. It is not organized by any specific sequence. Educators and historians agree that Europeans are typically more left brain, while the rest of creation seems to be more right brain. It is strange, it is weird, it is odd. Thus, friction develops in our school systems when children who learn from the right side of the brain are getting instruction from left-sided brain educators. So if our children learn differently, what do? We now put them on a prescription medication or in a different classroom hoping for the best. Our children do not have a learning disorder if they know all the words to Taylor Swift, Lil Wayne, Red Hot Chili Peppers, or Adam Levine. Learning is not the problem. It's about distribution and reception of knowledge and getting it to the side of the brain and inside the depths of the soul that will indeed change a life and make a difference. It's about a willingness to respond to change. I think we sang about that in the first song this morning. So in John 21, Jesus has just risen from the dead, and the disciples are disillusioned about their next step. Sarah, their question now is that there is no question about the resurrection, but they are downhearted. Things are going well. He is alive, but yet somehow discouragement sweeps in and tries to rule the day. They are asking themselves internally, what do I do now? It's obvious more often than not that the disciples are left-brained because they need instruction every day. They need data every day. They need a process every day. There are people in this room this morning, you are frustrated with your faith because you know that Jesus got up from the dead, but still you are not sure what to do with your next step. And for some, there's been no next step at all. You are frustrated because you know you are anointed, but you need more instruction, and your stop has been self-imposed. John 21, Simon Peter stands up and he shows his disgust. He said, I don't know about you guys. I can't handle this sitting still any longer. We've talked about that in worship. We talked about that with Brian. We don't know how to handle stillness sometimes. And you know me, I'm all about messages and interpretation. I believe in the gifts of the Spirit. But sometimes God says, would you just please hush? And would you just focus on me and just worship from the depths of your heart and just allow yourself to be quiet every now and then? I tell you, there are some Sundays that I just want to come and stand up here, but I feel like God will say, just wait on me. Let me do something. And so they are disquieted and they're disturbed. Peter knows that Jesus is risen from the dead. He said, I can't handle this silence. I'm going fishing. So Peter says, I'm going back to fishing. Why is that important? Very important. Peter goes back to doing what he was doing before he ever felt the call of God upon his life. Some people will keep going back because they don't want God and they don't want to deal with what God has called them to do today. And when Jesus called him, Peter was a fisherman. So that he has not heard from God now, he has relapsed into his old profession. Once you have been exposed to the life of Jesus Christ and life more abundantly, when you have walked with him for 3 years or 30 years, you cannot keep going back to the same level you were at 30 years ago. So now you've had 3 years. Some people in this house today, God has worked a miracle in your life since 2020. In the last 3 years, you've seen God move undeniably and work miracles in your life. And you can't experience God and worship God now like you did 3 years ago. Why? Because you've seen too much. You've been blessed too much. You've watched God work far too. You showed me, God, that you were able to keep me from falling. You were able to present me faultless before the throne of your grace and your glory. You have kept me, and I can't go back to how I used to live because you've been too good to me today. If you listen closely, you can hear what I hear. It is the door of your past slamming shut because God has opened the door to an incredible today and an incredible tomorrow. Peter considers his old income and his old lifestyle. He labors all night. Sometimes, does it ever just feel like, Josh, we're just turning our wheels and we labor night and we labor day and it just seems like we're getting nothing, we're catching nothing from God. And God said to remind some people in this house, my hand is still on you and you are far too anointed not to be bringing something in. You are far too anointed to keep coming in every day and every night and every week with nothing to show for the glory of God upon your life. And, I believe this. I don't know where you are this morning, but God is getting ready to free some people in this sanctuary. We are in a season of loosening. The devil's fighting it. The devil's trying to clog every avenue and block every street. But I declare today, under the authority and the anointing of the Holy Ghost, that God is about to free you and loose you and loose this church for the greatest hour. Turn to your neighbor, just tell someone that all ends right now. Everything you've been fighting, some of you know intimately well who you're talking to today. You know their struggle. You know what they're going through. But God said, I'm about to loose it, and I'm about to bless you. It is antithetical for you to be anointed and to be struggling. If you are anointed, you have the power of the Holy Spirit to do the incredible for the kingdom of God. Hey, there is something out of order for you to have the call of God on your life and nothing to show for all of your hard work. That's for people who are living out of covenant. But when you know God has promised you some things, there's no way I'm going to spend my whole life and all I've got to show for it is a life filled with excuses. God's got to show me something. I need to pull something in. I've been through this all night long, and God, I need a miracle that shows me one more time that you are the God of the supernatural and you are able. The Word of God said this. The disciples said, We have toiled all night long. We've been out here all night at this. And it seems like that 2 a.m. that it passed and nothing changed at 3 a.m. God, it just gets darker and darker, and it seems like now it's 3, and I don't know if anything will change by 4 a.m. I don't know what will happen at 5. It seems like one moment, one minute, One measure of time just becomes another, and Jesus stands up on the shore. It is the middle of the night and none of them see him, and he watches them pull in nothing. He watches them toil. He knows their labor. In monarchical protocol, a king is always seated. Jesus is seated on the right hand of the Father. We know that according to the word of God, that when God arises, his enemies, they scatter. And so it is. Whenever a king stands, it means that he is getting ready to give direction for warfare. And I came to tell you this morning, with the kind of struggle that you have been through in the last few months, there's no way that God will keep sitting down on you. At this very moment, he's getting ready to stand, getting ready to lead your circumstance, and he will declare war over every enemy of your life, every enemy that fights against this church and fights against this family. God is standing up, and he recognizes your need. The word says they do not recognize him. The reason sometimes that we are in a place of transition is because we do not recognize him for who he is and what he is and what he wants to do in our lives. And we'd rather sit in nothing as acknowledge that he's trying to speak something new into our lives. We don't even recognize God in this environment. But I believe this today, that the God that is about to introduce himself to you, God says, you don't even know me for what I'm about to reveal in your life and what I'm about to do in your life. Greater really is coming to me as an individual. You know me for one side of the boat, but I'm about to reveal myself post-resurrection, and all I need is one more opportunity to do the incredible in your life. You thought I would only show up that one time. You didn't think I would come back again. You didn't think I would circle back to you again. You thought it was too hard. But God said, if you will hear his voice, I'll give you 15 more years. God said, I'm giving you one more Jonah shot, one more of a Jonah shot at Nineveh. I'm giving you one more side of the boat. I'll give you one more shot to be full and overflowing. I'll make it work if you'll let me. I'm fighting on your behalf. I'm with you on this Sunday in 2023. Listen, don't ever forget, God has called us to produce. Father, I pray, help me, help us today. Jesus is all-knowing, he is omniscient. And the question is, will they be honest in his presence? Like we sang this morning, when was the last time you just came into the church with no pretense, no facade, no hidden agenda? When was the last time you just came into the presence of God and said, God, I just don't have anything today. I'm empty. I'm not mad at anybody. I'm not angry with anyone. I don't have an agenda against this push or that push. God, I'm empty, but I just came to stand. In your presence. I don't care who rolls their eyes. I don't care who sucks on their teeth. I don't care who has an attitude about me or about my family or anyone else. God, I'm just here and I'm empty. And I'm tired of the blame game. I'm tired of blaming this one and blaming that one. Blame, 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 and then blaming me. God, I'm just here and I'm empty. And if I've ever needed you to stand up, God, I need you to stand up right now. I need to feel your touch. I need to know that you're here even when I don't recognize you. Just just forgive me, but let's just have an emergency moment if we can this morning. Can I get some empty people in this house just to lift your hands? You know, lift your hands for you, lift your hands for me, that God will. Fill our boat, God, fill us with your presence. I'm talking to anybody in this house, they'll say, everything I depended on fell apart. Everything I relied on, everyone turned its back on me. And God, I've got nothing. Some days I don't even feel like God is around that I can feel him. There are people in my family I can't call family anymore. I might as well volunteer because I'm not getting paid what I'm worth. Nothing. If my phone rings, it's a bill collector. I can't go to the ATM because I don't have anything at the ATM. If God's ever filled your boat and you know what it is to be provided for in abundance, lift your hand and praise him today because God's been good to you. Stop some of the silly stuff you're arguing about. Stop some of the crazy that you're fussing about and people you're fussing about all the time and say, God, I was a sinner. I was empty. I was lost in sin, but I'm saved. I'm redeemed. I've been blessed with the mercy and the grace of Jesus Christ. The enemy thought you were done because he was looking at your money, but he forgot that the joy of the Lord is your strength. I don't hear you praising him like you should this morning. If his joy really is your strength, act like. I'm glad God, I'm glad he stood up. And Jesus said, have you caught anything? In other words, do you have anything to give to someone else, or is this just about you? Come on. I've learned anything about being a Christian and being a part of the body is that this is never just about me. I am required to think body first. In the last 10 years as a pastor, I've never seen people so easily offended. It inundates our society, it's on the television screen, and it's carried over into the church. We get offended. Nobody's as spiritual as we are. No one has arrived like I've arrived. We go from one extreme to the other, and God sits up there and he's disappointed. He said, I'm trying to bring you back to him. I'm asking you, have you caught anything? Are you doing anything with what I've given you? And what are you doing with the 100 years that I've given you? I'm thankful this church is a living, breathing testimony to what God has done in Summerton and done throughout the years. We are so ungrateful sometimes. We are so quick to criticize what we've been blessed with. I tell you, I'm blessed and highly favored to stand in this pulpit and to be your pastor. I'm thankful to God for you. I'm thankful for the blessing that you are to me. I'm thankful for the price that has been paid. I am thankful for who and what we've been. But if Jesus were standing here today, he would ask you this question. Are you catching anything? I trust you to pay my bills. God says, do you think I went to the cross so that you could owe Truist and Synovus and PNC and Wells Fargo? Do you think the only destiny I have for your life is making sure you have DirecTV and your kids have lunch money? I don't care how old or young you are, Calvary has always been worth more than that. God's trying to bring us back to reality in that moment on that shore. Jesus is trying to get their attention, and he wants them to realize that you never have to settle for an attitude of empty. Amen. And he stands up, and Jesus says, I came that you might have life and that you might have it more abundantly. And Jesus says this is critical. The way you've been functioning, operating, processing has been messed up because of your thinking, not because of the devil. You've always got someone or something to blame. Sometimes you just got to get your thinking right. Not who controls the Senate, not because of a recession. You think because your candidate lost a November election that God wasn't going to be in charge? Jesus stands up and everything else sits down because he is the Messiah and the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Hear this. The season, for this season of your life, you've got to change your thinking. You get your net on the wrong side. Mariners understand that water is fluid. It moves. There is this movement. If it's not on this side, it may be on the other. But Jesus says, I'm not here about the fluidity of water. That's a given. That's a fact. He said, He's dealing with the way they think. And we want anointing, and we want whoo, and we want all run the eye, and we want all the gifts. God said, none of that means a flip. Come on. If I can't have your thinking. You need to think on the right side. The creativity of God resides in you. I've anointed you to do something out of the box, to shift paradigms, to mess up people who think they know more than you. I put a creative anointing on you to think at a different level. The enemy has no creativity. He just mocks and he mimics God. He tries to copy God's creation. Tell you what he did. He wanted to sing songs to himself all day. Sing my song, sing to me, sing about me. Instead of finding better ways to worship God, I want to announce to this crowd that's been waiting on the right time to reveal an outlandish idea, go ahead and do it. There is no right time, but there is a God time. When you are in line with God's will, whatever you are dreaming about and thinking for, God is big enough to provide for us. God, give us dreamers and visionaries at Summit. I think God's simply saying, if I can get you to the other side of your brain, I'll fill your boat up. And you know what I'm praying? Philip, Pastor Nicole, I'm praying that God will send us people that are more interested in filling the boat than they are driving the boat. If God can get us interested in filling the boat instead of driving the boat, he said, all you need to depend on is to depend on me standing on the shore. I'm watching over your life. I've stood up over you, and I've stood up for you, and I've got your back when the pastor don't have your back. I've got your back when your wife don't have your back. And if I can get you to focus on filling the boat, let me drive. Kelly and I just thought of this. We were in Charleston. I wanted this to be one of those services where everybody was just bouncing off the walls. And I thought, God, I'm just not feeling that this week. And God said, it's because you're trying to drive the boat. When we were in Charleston, we went out to, Fort Sumter? And when I got on that boat, Brother Tommy, not one time did I ever think about trying to drive that boat. I didn't even think about the guy that was driving the boat. I had absolute trust and confidence that he knew where we were going. He would take us there. We would see what we needed to see and hear what we needed to hear, and he'd drive us back again. My dad and mom are here. I'm so thankful that if I could say anything about their lives through the years, they have let God drive the boat. We've seen things we thought we would never see and heard things we thought we would never hear. My dad and mom, they've been all over the world and preached this message of salvation. Why? Because you let God drive the boat. And if you'll let God drive this boat, hey, our celebration next Sunday will blow the roof off of this place, and God will work next Sunday and the Sunday after that and the Sunday after that and the Sunday after that and the Sunday after that. Just let me drop. Yeah. Yeah. I know you're smart. I know you're quick. I know you have the gift of education. I know you have the gift of humility. I know you have the gift of worship. I know you have the gift of evangelism. Let me drop. I know you've struggled with those young men. I know you've struggled with that football team. I know you've struggled with the situation and the circumstance. Let me drive. I've got this school in the palm of my hand. I've got this church in the palm of my hand. I'm on the shore. I'm watching. I'm hearing. I'm listening. What God wants to do in you, you'll never need anyone else to validate that. God will, Micah signs, God will validate that in your life. Amen. You may have joined the military, but God's already had you. He's with you, and his hand's on you to do more than just the military. You are you have a voice of impact. You have a voice of anointing. You have a voice of favor. Chorus, shut that up. Me about two more minutes. There's things in my life I would have never done because I changed my mind and I listened to the voice of God. God honored my obedience and he brought to fulfillment some of my dreams. Miss Sarah, some of the things I saw in my spirit as a child and as a teenager. God has brought that to pass. I'm standing here today as a gift of God because he's been good to me and he's been faithful. I love him. Pastor, God can't do that for me. Gideon took down 135,000 Midianites with how many? Say it out loud. Anybody know? Amen. The call is the call. There's nothing in the natural that says your idea will work. For you to speak it out loud sounds crazy. Can I get some people right now to do that? Could you just speak out loud what your call is? Would you say it? Would you lift your hands toward heaven and give that to God one more time? You know what your gift is. You know what your call is. Would you speak that out loud right now? And I know you think it's got to be this and it's got to be that, but God said, I'm trying to get you to change your thinking. I'm trying to get you to change sides. I'm trying to get you from left brain to right brain. I'm trying to get you to balance the two. I'm trying to get your confidence in me. It's not your location. It's not another sea or another boat or another church. It's time to change your thinking. Listen. Stand with me this morning. Man, what a beautiful sight from up here. Look at all the people on both sides of the balcony this morning. Y'all warming up for next Sunday, aren't you? Can I say this to someone in this house? I believe the voice of God. I believe we can hear the voice of God. I think many times we say the Lord spoke to me, and that, again, that was Hardee's, or it was, you know, something. I do believe there are those times when God really speaks something into our lives. And I believe this today, that God will speak to someone in this house and he would say, you're getting ready to walk into something heavy, heavy good. You've dealt with the last season of your life of pulling in nothing, of feeling like no matter what you do, it just comes up empty. If you're here today and you say, Pastor, I'm heads are bowed, eyes are closed. I'm so tired of being empty. I'm so tired of being frustrated. I'm so tired of feeling like my voice is not heard and people don't respect me. I feel like I'm on the outside looking in, and I know I'm loved. I love others, but I'm just tired of being empty. Can anybody be transparent and honest with heads bowed? Could you raise your hand this morning in this house? All over this house. All over this house. Pastor, I could be more if you would preach better. That may be true. Pastor, I could be more if they would just sing my song. That thing that pulls my cord, that thing that speaks to my emotions. And God said, I need you to want more of me. And I'll feel it. May not always make sense, but God said, just surrender. If you'll surrender, not my will, God, but your will be done. God said, I'll bless you abundantly. If you're willing to change sides in your mind this morning, if you're willing to let God give you another look, would you lift your hands toward heaven and would you just pray right now? God, will you enable me to see the things that I'm not seeing and to hear the things I'm not heard? I'm willing, God, to look on the other side of the boat. Right now, would you do that? Lift your hands. I want you to listen to me. Look. I preached on this scripture several years ago in Kentucky. And as we came to the close of that service, I really didn't mean to say the state, but I had a pastor in the congregation that had morally come up short with God. And I knew that he had carried that for some time. His wife of probably 30 or 40 plus years left him over what I really believe could have been repaired, but would never have anything to do with him again. I knew he had hurt and been disappointed for years. His son, who was the pastor, was in our church. And all we had done, we just tried our best to pour oil in and to love them and to care. And I'll never forget that morning that he walked down that right side and he stood right in the center, and the Spirit of God did what I couldn't do. He started to jump straight up and down and he wept like a baby. He said, Pastor, in many years, this is the first time I've cried and I've wept and I've felt the presence and the power of God. And I saw God completely deliver him and change him and touch his life. Amen. This message may not have flipped your switch or spoken to your heart, but if you're here and God is speaking to you, this altar is open and you don't need to leave here until you give him one more shot. Father, today in Jesus' name, I pray. Under this heavy mantle, this soul-searching service, I pray today, God, you would do what I can't do and others can't do, that you would open us to the truth, thinking like you think, loving like you love, caring about what you care for. In Jesus' mighty name. The Word of God said that you will be transformed by the renewing of your. The Word of God said this, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. I want to do this today. Would you lift your hands toward my mom and dad? I want to pray for them this morning. I can't thank them enough for who and what they are to me, my family. God, I pray for your strength today. I pray for your healing today. I pray, God, for your favor and your power that you walk in and you work in our bodies, our minds, our spirit, that you give us strength. That, God, where there is pain, that you would release it and you would make whole, and that, God, energy would be restored, and that, God, you would order every step. In the mighty name of Jesus, your word, your word. I love you. I'm thankful for you. Do your best to invite someone to be with us next Sunday. If I know Toby Morgan, he will have a message to encourage, a message to uplift, a message to inspire us and challenge us for yesterday, today, and tomorrow, that God is in control.